This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. Today inshallah and tomorrow we will bi'idhnillahi ta'ala try and conclude Surah Fussilat. There's only a little bit left. We'll get through a bit of it today, inshallah, the rest of it tomorrow. Surah Fussilat, amongst these, within this cluster of surahs from Ghafir to Al-Ahqaf, each surah is going to give us a concept that will either help our da'wah, either something affirmative, something to help us perfect our da'wah, or something that we need to beware of. And I love this cluster of surahs. And in Ramadans, the last maybe seven Ramadans, I've done Surah Al-Zukhruf and Al-Jathiyah within the same cluster. That's just to kind of, I really like it. I find it very, very relevant to our times. Yeah. Because as Muslims in the West, if we forget our basic function or purpose, which is performing da'wah, then it becomes very problematic to explain why it is that you're going to stay here long term. I know that sounds kind of weird. But when you live in a place where you're not amongst Muslims, you know, you're not living in a majority of place of Muslims, and the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not, forget about being practiced, it's not even respected. It's not like if you went back home it's going to be practiced or anything. I lived in the Middle East all of my life, they don't practice anything there, but at least there's some respect to the rule of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you live outside of that, then there has to be some intention that's attached to it that allows that to be acceptable or conceptually permissible. And I think the thing that we have to bank on is the fact that we are du'a. We are those, we represent Islam, and we call people to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's our basic function. Islam is not a religion that is specific to a number of races or a number of ethnicities or a number of backgrounds or countries. Islam is designed to be for all, which is what we're going to recite basically today. So understanding that and knowing that, being here and living here, we need to take advantage of the fact that we have a lot of da'wah to do. There's a lot of people who don't know anything about Islam. Or what they do know is a distorted version of it. I mean, they've been fed information for a long time that is just untrue. And that's not fair to them because maybe if they knew the truth of what this faith actually is or what Islam actually talks about, they may actually be more, they'll be more committed to it than we are. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides somebody with you, just one person, you understand how simple that is? And just one person is guided by you. This is better for you than winning the lottery. From having whatever it is that you dreamt of having in your life. So I think that's an important, that's why I like this cluster of surahs, and I try to choose from them and recite them and teach them. And Surah Fussilat is saying da'wah has to happen. Just remember that with actions speak louder than words. You have to articulate properly. You have to make sure you're saying exactly what needs to be said. It has to be clear. It has to be detailed. It has to be proper. But then at the end, it's your actions that are going to make the biggest difference. And that just gives opportunity to everybody. I think the message here within the surah for all of us is that the opportunity is there for you. Even if you, because I run to this quite a bit, and people ask me, like, I don't know much about Islam. I don't know. That doesn't matter. It doesn't affect your ability to perform da'wah at all. Like, it doesn't affect your ability at all. You know today probably more than Abu Bakr did at that first, the first 48 hours of Islam. And you probably know more about Islam than he did, radiallahu anhu, in that first week where he brought in the mega names, and he brought in Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and Uthman ibn Affan and Zubayr ibn Awam and Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Sa'id ibn Zayd and Bilal ibn Rabah. He brought in the names that live on. He brought the Ashir al-Bashirin al-Jannah, 8 of them. That's just his personal effort, radiallahu anhu. What did he know about Islam? Not much. Then why did they listen to him? Was it the information that he shared? No, it's who he was. This was Abdullah ibn Abi Quhafa. When he spoke, people listened to him. This is a person who spent his whole life as a merchant and businessman. Not once did he ever lie. Not once did he ever cheat anybody. No one had ever gone into an interaction with him and walked away upset. That's who Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was. So that's his status. So when he said, I think this is the right thing, they bought in. This is the effect. This is the effect of someone who has that reputation, who lives the values of Islam. That's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells us, خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقُهُ النَّاسُ مَعَادٍ. People have innate ma'adin, or minerals. But he's talking about, alayhi salatu wasalam, that everyone is made of something. And deep down inside, we decide what our what is it? Is it what is it going to be? Rock or gold? That's something you choose, or something that you build over time. He says the best of you in Islam are the best you were the best of you in Jahiliyyah if you learn. If people have great ethics, if they learn Islam, they'll be the best because they already have the proper recipe for all of it. And that's what the surah basically teaches. So let's start with ayah number 44 and go through these verses, inshallah ta'ala, not to keep you here longer than I need to. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولو جعلناه قرآنا أعجميا لقالوا لولا فصلت آياته أعجمي وعربي. So take a look at this word in the Quran in front of you. You're going to find a hamza, and then you're going to find an alif on top of it, a really weird looking dot. It's just this is the only dot that you'll see that looks like this in the whole Quran, at least in our recitation. This is called a hamza musahala. So the way it's said in Arabic is a'ajamiyun. So a'ajami is something that is not Arabic. And the hamza that comes at the beginning is for a question. Afulan, ajita, you ask a question, you put a hamza at the beginning of almost anything, a verb or a noun, and it comes out as a question. So it's a'ajamiyun, but because having two hamzas in a row with a fatha is not very gentle on the throat, some different recitations have dealt with this differently. Some of them left it the way it is. Some of them actually put a mid, and some of them did something called tasheed, which is what we did. Where the second hamza doesn't really treat it like a hamza. So you don't say a'a', you say a'ajamiyun. So it's like a little bit of a half a hamza in the. And within qira'at hafs, this is the only example that we got. So you don't have to really worry about doing this a lot. But this is the only time that exists for us. So this is how it's recited. So a'ajamiyun, that's how it's supposed to sound. And you can go home and listen to me. One of the reciters do it, you'll hear it, and it makes sense to you, inshallah. It's between a hamza. So it's between nothing and a full hamza, something in the middle. It's called tasheel. It's easing the hamza so it's not difficult for people to recite.
قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءٌ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقْرٌ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَمًى أولئك ينادون من مكان بعيد
So he's saying subhanahu wa ta'ala after the verses that we recited last week talking about the Quran لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه تنزيل من حكيم حميد ما يقال لك إلا ما قد قيل للرسل من قبلك All that's being said to you is what was said to all the prophets before you. Whether it's what's being said to you from the disbelievers in terms of what they're going after, or what is being said to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of what to do, it's the same. You're not a special case. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in every other sense of the manner he is, but he's being told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in terms of your story, in terms of what it is that you're going through, what you're being told, it's the same. It's nothing new. This is what all the prophets were told before from their people. It's the same thing that they were told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna rabbaka ladhu maghfiratin wa dhu iqabin aleem. Indeed, your Lord is the one that grants forgiveness, and he's the one who has the painful punishment. So he says, وَلَوْ جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا أَعْجَمِيًّا And if we made this Qur'an, or we sent it, or we revealed it, or you received it in a different language, in a language that is ajami. Anything that is not Arabic is ajami, basically. This is just the usage of the language. Anything that's not in the Arabic language is ajami. Any person who's not Arabi is ajami. And that's just the use it. Ajam are those who are non-Arabiani. But again, the Qur'an was revealed, and this is the point of this verse. If we had sent it in a different language, in a different tongue, لَقَالُوا لَوْلَا فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ Then their objection would be, why wasn't this detailed and properly explained? And the surah is called Fussilat, something detailed and explained. It's one of the few surahs in the Quran, only two, one of two, that the name of the surah is a verb. It's not actually a noun. Fussilat, something that was just detailed and explained. That's what the Quran is. But they're not listening to the Quran. Right? The Quran is detailed in their language, with their tongue, they can understand it, they're not listening. But if we made it, if we sent it with another language, they would have said, لولا فصلت آياته. Why hasn't this been explained and properly detailed for us? أعجمي وعربي. He wants to send you a non-Arab Quran to Arab speakers. You want it to be in both languages. This very known objection. Well, why, if this is the final message, why is it in Arabic? Well, in what language is it going to be? If the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is Arabi, what language is the Quran that's going to reveal to him and his people going to be in? Ajami, in a different, we're going to send to people who speak a language, a different language for them to learn from. It's not going to work. It has to be in a language. Like, it has to be something that someone can understand, or else, you know, the concept of, well, why is that? That doesn't make any sense. There's at least a couple of thousand languages on the planet. It's going to be in one of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make up a new language and then send a book in it and then have everyone learn the new language. It's going to be in a dialect of a tongue that people understand. And the Prophet alayhi salam, his Arabi, is going to be in that language. Now, did he make the choice based, is it just a random choice? Of course not. Of course not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not choose the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam amongst the Arab for no reason. Again, it has nothing to do with the superiority of the race at all. It just has to do with the tongue, the language itself, the dialect. Arabic, the language of the Arabic language, has something that is specific that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Quran to be in. When we talk about learning Arabic, it's not because it has nothing to do with the race, has nothing to do with the people, it has to do with the Quran. The only value of learning Arabic is the Quran. There's really nothing else. I just want to make that very clear. There's no other value in learning any language, and in my opinion, besides if you're going to be living in that country, or it's just an issue of increasing your knowledge. If you the more tongues you speak, the more cultures you understand, and it does help rewire your brain a little bit in terms of understanding how people go by things. Learning Arabic, the value in it is learning the Quran, because instead of being knowing the Quran secondhand, or sometimes even third hand, you get to understand it firsthand because you actually understand what's being said here. So the argument Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making with them is that if you sent it in a different language, you wouldn't be okay with that. Your big objection would be, why isn't this detailed and explained so that we can understand it? It can't be a'jami wa Arabi, it's going to be both. It's going to be something sent in one language to a people who speak another one. It's not going to work that way. قُلْ, since this argument is weak and is meaningless, because they would, you know, they'd make these arguments. قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءً. Say, for the believers, the words that are in this book will be both guidance and cure. That's what this book will be for you. You believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're a muwahhid saying la ilaha illallah, then this book for you will be both guidance and a cure. Hudan wa shifa, that's what it does for you. That's the purpose of it. It was sent for these two things. Sent to grant you guidance so that you know where you're going, why you're doing what you're doing, what your final destination is going to look like, and how you're going to get there. And it's there to cure you. It's there to rid you of all of the diseases that exist on the inside. These are the two basic, you know, functions of this book. If we're not using this book for these two functions, then it's not serving its purpose. I mean, if the Quran within our societies, in our communities, within our households, inside of you, if you are not using it for that, if you're not seeking guidance within it, if you're not looking within it for cures for yourself, like if you're not acknowledging that you're struggling with things and there are problems and the way that you see the world is not perfect and the way that you see other people and the way you deal with yourself and your intentions and how you interact with those around you, with life itself and the ups and downs, if you don't realize that there's an issue there, that it's not happening correctly, and that your cure is within the Quran, then you're really not, we're not really benefiting from this book. Like, it's there, but you're not taking what you need to take away from it. And that's the biggest fear, in my opinion. The biggest fear is that the Quran, anything within Islam, is designed to fulfill a specific purpose, but we're not using it for that. We're using it for something different. And it's nice to have the Quran on your shelf. It's nice to have like a portrait on your wall. It's nice to have it hanging from the little dashboard or whatever in your car. It's all fine and dandy. It's no problem to do all that. And it's nice to have a couple of apps on your phone with the Quran. But the Quran's goal is for it to grant you guidance. That's what you're looking for. If you're a Muslim, apparently you really like guidance because you seem to ask Allah 17 times for it a day. That's a big deal. That's a high frequency. I'm not really sure that you ask for anything 17 times a day. Not even a toddler will ask his mother for something 17 times a day, as annoying as they can be. But 17 times you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the same thing. That means in terms of value, you really don't see anything that's more valuable than that to you. And then he's saying subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what it's going to offer you. It's in the Quran. That's what you're looking for. That's where it is. And if you acknowledge that you're struggling and that you need to work on yourself, then your cure is also in the Quran. So basically, regardless of whether you're looking to improve your self-guidance or looking to cure yourself because of the problem, is the boast of both answers are going to exist in this Quran. So when they say, well, why isn't this and why isn't that? This argument is a waste of time. ولو جعلناه قرآنا أعجميا لقالوا لولا فصل. If they came in one a different language, they say, well, why wasn't it explained in this language? If we gave it in this language, well, why isn't that like أعجمي وعربي? It can't be both. It has to be one thing. This is what it is. It's for the believers. It will continue to be a source of guidance, a source of cure. والذين لا يؤمنون, and those who don't believe, في آذانهم وقر. الوقر, we talked about this earlier in Surah Fussil at the beginning, because if you go back, the symmetry of the Quran is, and the surahs are always beautiful. If you go to the beginning of the surah, وقالوا, right, ayah number 5, وقالوا قلوبنا في أكنة مما تدعونا إليه وفي آذاننا وقر ومن بيننا وبينك حجاب فعمل إننا عاملون. We don't hear you. There's a veil over our hearts. Just do what you're going to do. And you behave the way you're told to behave, and just let the amal be the thing that will affect us, which is what the whole surah is talking about. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ وَقْرٌ, there's deafness in their ears. وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَمَى, and they're blinded from it. عَلَيْهِمْ عَمَى means there's not the Quran is causing them to be blind, but there is upon them a blindness that is Allah allowing them to see what the Quran is. They can't see it for what it is. وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَمَى, there's something that is upon their eyes. They can see, they just can't seem to see the Quran for what it actually is. They can't hear it. They hear it, but they can't listen to it. Or they listen to it, but they can't hear it. It's not affecting them. They're not allowing it to actually do something for them. And there's a blindness. They put something in front of their eyes. They can't see it. أُولَٰئِكَ يُنَادَوْنَ مِن مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ, those people, you speak to them. You bring them da'wah. But it's like you're talking to them from a distance. They can't really hear you. They just can't hear you. What are you going to do when someone's like that? What are you going to do? But a parent comes and tells me, I've been talking to my son about this thing or my daughter about this thing for a very long time. They're not listening. Yeah, because you're speaking to them. It's as if you're from a distance. That's how it seems to them. If you have the ability, especially if you're in your 30s or 40s, if you can go back into your mind a little bit, go back into your past. Remember maybe what your mentality was when you were grade 9 or 10 or 12, and try to really think about it. Try to remember maybe what pieces of advice you were given by specific people that today, you, inshallah, you cherish and you love, but how you received it back then and how you dealt with it back then. If you do that, you'll start to remember what, you'll understand what this ayah is talking about. Some people, it's like you're talking to them from the end of the room or the end of the street. It's like they can't hear you. Even though you're standing right in front of them and you're being very clear and you're articulating things very, very well and you're dotting every I and you're crossing every T and everything is clear, but they just can't hear you. It's like you're talking to them from a distance, and it's not hard. I do this all the time, and I deal with younger people. So I know who's listening and who there's no point. This is just they're just here. That's okay. But that's okay, because really, you can't control that. You can't change that. Some of them, في أذانهم وقر وهو عليهم عمى, they have this deafness and they just can't see it for now. What will affect them, this is what the surah is trying to explain, what will affect them is not the words that you'll say. These ayat are saying the Quran is detailed, it's beautiful, it's in the right language, it's articulate. Everything is, but still people won't listen. Still they won't listen, but they'll listen to something different. But they will benefit from something different. Even though the words are majestic, even they are pure haq, la ya'tihi al-batil, from Allah directly, there's no one in between. And still people can't listen to it. They should. Don't get me wrong. This is not defending them. This is not a defense. I'm not trying to win a case for them in court. But this is what's going on. This is the reality of it. It's like they're just far away. We've all been that person. Here's what I'm trying to say. We've all been that person. At a certain time in our lives, we were that person. We were told, this is not helpful for you. Stop doing this. Do this. And we didn't care. Everyone, at some point, your mother or your father has tried to sway you or tell you this. You have to stop doing this. This is a waste of your potential. You just, at that time, you just didn't listen to it. You didn't care. If you go back and wasn't I listening? This happens all the time. I get to experience this a lot. It's fun. This is one of the funner parts of the job that I do. Is that when you talk to someone, they're young, and they don't listen to a word you say, for years and years, they come back a couple of years later, and then they say, oh, Sheikh, we used to, I'm like, yeah, exactly, I know. You have to tell me. I remember very well what a pain in the you were. I remember how difficult it was to speak to you because you didn't listen to a word I said. Even though if you listened then, you would have been so much ahead right now. Like you wouldn't have to be reinventing the wheel for yourself if you just listened then. But that's not my job. It's not my job to judge them then. It's not my job to judge them now. My job is to make sure I just provide them with the best I can. But this is the reality. This ayah is not trying to devalue. It's the opposite. It's why I say this is perfect. It's exactly what it needs to be. It's exactly what it needs to be. It couldn't be better. Still, people won't listen. Some people just, they won't hear it. Let's see if this is just our problem. We'll go to the verse after it.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ فَاخْتُلِفَ فِيهِ وَلَوْلَا كَلِمَةٌ سَبَقَتْ مِنْ رَبِّكَ لَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْهُ مُرِيبٍ.
Because indeed, we gave Musa the book. Same thing. We gave Musa very clear commandments. They were on suhuf from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. فَاخْتُلِفَ فِيهِ. And then they differed on the commandments that Musa alayhi salam was given in his own hands. They differed on them. Whether the differentiation or the dispute came from Al-Fir'aun or came later on from Bani Israel, who later on manipulated the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَكْلِهِمُ الرِّبَى وَقَدْنُهُ عَنْهُ وَأَكْلِهِمْ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. All these other verses that talk about the fact that they were told not to do something, they didn't care, they went and did whatever they wanted to do. فَاخْتُلِفَ فِيهِ. He's saying, if it wasn't for the fact that I had made a previous decree that I wasn't going to punish them if they did this, I would have لَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ, I would have judged right then and there and ended it right then and there. But I didn't. The decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that, go ahead, dispute and disagree and do what you want, and I'll come and talk to you about this yawm al-qiyamah. وَإِنَّهُمْ, and indeed all of them, لَفِي شَكٍ مِّنْهُمْ مُرِيبٍ. They're in a state of doubt, of real doubt. شَكٍ مُرِيبٍ is real doubt, is effective doubt. See, there's two types of doubts, just so you understand. There's a doubt that you carry in your heart but does not affect your behavior. Like you're full throttle doing what you need to do. But there's a little bit somewhere in your heart that you're kind of ignoring because you know a part of you knows this is the right thing and this doubt just has to be dealt with. I just haven't taken the time, but you keep on doing the right thing. You're good. You're okay if that's the case. But you have to deal with this at some point, or like a cancer, it will continue to spread and it'll ruin everything for you. But that's fine. Shakkin murib is the doubt that will ruin your behavior. The doubt that will hold you back. The doubt will not allow you to pray or not allow you to be committed to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it's so powerful. And that's what shakkin murib is. And that's what you find this term, you'll find it across the Quran in a couple of different places. Surah Saba, the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, and other places, you'll find it repeated. Shakkin murib, the concept of doubt that is effective, that actually ruins your ability to be connected. Because some people will have some doubt, and that's normal. It's normal. If you're an intelligent human being, it's normal for you to run into some doubts as you go through life. It's not normal for you to allow them to manifest and just fester there for a long time. It's abnormal. What you should do is you should take time and deal with them. If you don't, then you come back, and at some point they'll catch up to you. At some point they'll catch up to you. This simple shak that you have will become shak murib later on if you don't deal with it at the right moment. But this is what Allah is saying. You're not alone this year, Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi Ismail. You're not alone. We gave Musa the book. It was clear, and they differed during his life on it. And if it wasn't for the fact that I had said I was going to give them time, I would have punished them right then and there because Musa was right there. Musa was right there. They had their feet were still wet from the walking through the sea, and they were worshipping Ajil. They hadn't wiped their feet from the sea yet, and they're worshipping Ajil. Ajib, Ajib. They're asking, Ya Musa, ij'al lana ilaha kama lahum aliha. He's like, just, you want to go back to the, huh? What happened? Just now, like, were you asleep? Just a second ago. Fir'aun was floating on the, you didn't see him and everyone with him. What was going on? اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. قال إنكم قوم تجهلون. إن هؤلاء متبر ما هم فيه وباطل ما كانوا يعملون. What are you doing? What are you talking about? So this is فاختلف فيه. They differed during his life, but it wasn't for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed he would not punish them. They would have been punished right then and there. وإنهم, all of them, were in a state of real doubt, even though they... So if the suhuf of Musa, if your Quran is not working, and some people can't hear it, well, the suhuf of Musa didn't work too. Like a lot of people didn't listen to the suhuf of Musa alayhi salam. This is just to give the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam some degree of consolation that, don't worry, it's not you, and it's not your book. This has happened to every prophet before you. They bring the book, they explain it, and a lot of people just don't listen because something else makes a difference, which is the ayah after it. Okay.
من عمل صالحا فلنفسه ومن أساء فعليها وما ربك بظلام للعبيد إليه يرد علم الساعة وما تخرج من ثمرات من أكمامها وما تحمل من أنثى ولا تضع إلا بعلمه ويوم يناديهم أين شركائي قالوا آذناك ما منا من شهيد وضل عنهم ما كانوا يدعون من قبل وظنوا ما لهم من محيص
من عمل صالحا. It comes down to من عمل صالحا. Those who do the right things. Those who perform the deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them to perform. That's what amila salihan means. It doesn't mean just doing good deeds, any random good deed. No, amila salihan means you perform the deeds that Allah actually created you to perform. And that's different and that's important because that requires you to understand a purpose. That requires you to understand why you were created. You have a goal and a destination and that you have a destiny to fulfill, so you know what it means and what is needed to actually fulfill it. That's different than just doing random good deeds. Sometimes one good deed is actually not the right thing to do. Right? If your mother is calling for you and you're praying sunnah, there's a priority here. If you understand your purpose, then you know which one you need to do and the other which one you don't need to do. And that's important, understanding that the good deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to do, they're not all equal. They do have different statuses and different priorities based on where you are in your life and what you're required to do and your destination, your goal, and your purpose. So when he says man amila salihan, he's not talking about doing any good deed. He's talking about doing the right ones, the ones that you should do at this moment to serve your purpose and fulfill your goal. من عمل صالحا فلنفسه. Anyone who performs the deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them to perform, they do it for themselves. فلنفسه is for you. Never forget that. May this verse live with you for the rest of your life. It is for you. It is for no one else. No one is benefiting from this. Really. Technically speaking. No one really does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يهدي من يشاء ويضل من يشاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide whom He wills and He will misguide whom He wills. I just do what I need to do for myself. And if he's going to use me as the tool, if he's going to channel some khair through me, he's going to channel it through somebody, well, it might as well be through me than me being on the side. But I'm not doing a favor. When I sit here and I talk about this, I'm not doing it for you at all. I know it sounds really ugly. I'm not doing it for you. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that I matter to me. I'm doing this for me because this is important for me. Because doing this is what's going to... It's going to be what I can argue myself through Yawm al-Qiyamah. So I need to do something. It's for myself. Now, if you benefit from it, that's even better. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using me to benefit you. And inshallah, that'll mean something for me on the Day of Judgment. But to act like this is, no, this is very selfish. Just like when you attend this, you're not doing this, you're doing this for yourself. This is very selfish for you as well. Any good deed that you do selflessly for you, so that you can make it on the Day of Judgment. It just happens that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed this whole story in a way where that you can only actually achieve that selfishness, that ultimate selfishness of entering Jannah by doing things that are selfless in dunya. It's just how He designed it. It's very interesting. You want to be fully, want to be ultimately selfish? Okay, you have to be completely selfless before that. That's how He put it. You want to be selfish? You have to be really selfless first, up front. Be selfless up front so that you can be fully selfish later on. And there's no other way for this to happen. That's why man amila salihan, do the deeds you're required to do, and that's for you. But in FC, it's only for you. No one's benefit is for you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to benefit you, He'll get rid of me and bring someone else to benefit you. If He wants to benefit you, He will. Subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need me or anyone else for that matter. But I'm doing this for me. As long as He's choosing me to channel some khair through me, alhamdulillah, I'll sit there and hoping that He continues to do that. And you are in the exact same spot. Are you doing some khair for some people? Then make sure you hold on to that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is channeling some khair through you. You're just the tool that He's using. Be happy about that. Be very, very happy because He can take that away and give it to someone else. And then you have nothing to offer anymore. عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ is for them. وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا. And those who behave the opposite way, those who misbehave or or sin, they're harming themselves. They're harming them. The harm is coming back to you. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. And your Lord has never been one to mistreat or treat unfairly or unjustly any of his servants. He'll never treat you unfairly يوم القيامة. Just do what you need to do. Do it for you. This ayah is important in Surah Fussilat because sometimes when we perform da'wah, we think we're actually doing people a favor. You know, this is our problem sometimes. We think I'm doing it. No, you're not. You're doing yourself a favor. And at the moment you start thinking that you're doing others a favor, maybe step aside and think about this for a while. Think hard, you know, long and hard. Yes, you're performing da'wah for others, but it's not, you carry no favor upon anyone. No one owes you anything. You're doing this because this is how you're going to protect yourself yawm al-qiyamah. This is how you're going to argue your way through that day. This is what I did. I did this for you, Ya Rab. And obviously, no one owes me anything. You're the one who granted me the guidance. You gave me the opportunity. You put in my heart that good intention, so I ended up doing it. وَمَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ. This is a hallmark verse in the Quran. وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا. And those who misbehave, it's going to harm themselves. And your Lord will not mistreat anyone on the Day of Judgment. The two verses after, a little bit of a description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a reminder of the Day of Judgment. إِلَيْهِ يُرَدُّ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. To him that the knowledge of that final hour returns to. No one knows when Yawm al-Qiyam is going to occur. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that knowledge. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا قُلْ إِلَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. They ask you, when is the Day of Judgment? Say, that knowledge is with my Lord. لَا يُجَلِّيهَا لِوَقْتِهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. No one brings it, no one makes it apparent and brings it to the attention of everyone at its time except him. ثَقُولَتْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Heavy it is in the cosmos and the earth when it does occur. لَا تَأْتِيكُمْ إِلَّا بَغْتَ. And only comes like that. Comes like a blink of the eye. It comes, it surprises you. بَغْتَ, it jumps at you. يَسْأَلُونَكَ كَأَنَّكَ حَفِيٌّ عَنْهَا. They ask you as if you have the knowledge of it. قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Say, indeed, exclusively the knowledge of this is in the hands of Allah. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُ. But most people don't know. The knowledge of this is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively. إِلَيْهِ يُرَدُّ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. وَمَا تَخْرُجُ مِنْ ثَمَرَاتٍ مِنْ أَكْمَامِهَا. And no fruits will leave their husks. وَمَا تَحْمِلُ مِنْ أُنْثَى. And no female will carry or bear a child. وَلَا تَضَعُ, nor will she give birth, إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ, except he has the knowledge of all of that. Human, not human, doesn't make a difference. Everything, every little detail that's happening in this universe, every fruit, every plant as it grows out of its husk, and every act of recreation, reproduction that's occurring in this universe is all within the realm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. Nothing goes unnoticed, nothing goes undocumented, it's all there. This is a level of knowledge that the human brain does not have the ability to comprehend. We certainly cannot understand what this means. But that's why he's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not. When he says, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ, right before this, he's saying, and indeed, your Lord will never mistreat a servant. These verses afterwards are there so that you are at ease. So you're at ease that that's the case. Because you're like, well, does he know the struggle that I was going through during that time? Was this aware? The knowledge of the Day of Judgment is in his hands. Then every little detail in this universe is apparent to him. So yes, the details of your struggle and your life and your problems and what was happening beforehand and afterwards and what you thought and what they said to you and how you felt because of it, all of that is well documented in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. So don't worry. He will never mistreat you because the knowledge of everything is with him subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَوْمَ يُنَادِيهِمْ. And on that day when he calls upon them, أَيْنَ شُرَكَاءِ. Where are my associates? Where are the ones that you valued more than me? شُرَكَاءِ doesn't just mean the idol of Hubal and Uzza and Manah and all these other things that they worship back in the day. شُرَكَاءِ is anything that you valued similarly or more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that you gave more weight in your life than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that you listened to or followed or walked behind when you should have been listening to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. You see the one who takes his whims and desires as his Lord, as his worshipped deity. It's in the Quran, no one worships their desires. No one will come out and say that. There's no faith that worships desires exclusively. But that's the wording of the Quran. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ أَنْدَادًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. And people will take associates with Allah. يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. They love them similar to the love they should have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. But those who believe, no, they love Allah more than anything. Nothing comes close. So when he calls Aina Shuraka'i, where are the ones that you valued similarly to me? Where are the ones that you thought were as important as I was to you? قَالُوا أَذَنَّكَ أَذَنَّكَ is a really cool word. It means we heard you and we want you to know the following. Okay, so أَعْلَمْنَاكَ وَأَخْبَرْنَاكَ means we're going to tell you something. أَذَنَّكَ means we heard and this is our response. This is what we want to say back. أَذَنَّكَ, we've heard everything now. And we want to say this. مَا مِنَّا مِنْ شَهِيدٍ. Not one of us still believe in any of that. None of us will bear witness to any of these things. Like the other associates and not... No, none of us will do it anymore. We believe that was completely wrong. مَا مِنَّا مِنْ شَهِيدٍ. وَضَلَّ عَنْهُمْ مَا يَكَانُوا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. And everything that they valued in dunya is no longer there for them. Nothing that they valued in dunya is still there. I mean, nothing will actually come see it through for them, or come through for them, or actually be in any form of help for them يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. وَضَلَّ عَنْهُمْ, they got lost. They're just not there. It hurts يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ when you depended on something and then you don't find it waiting for you. This is a very abstract concept. You don't really know what you depend upon until that day, unless you do a lot of self-analysis and self-regulation. You don't really know what it is that you're depending upon until يوم القيامة. You realize, I depended on this. I depended on my job. I depended on my family. I depended on my status, my name, the letters before my name or after it. I depended on my bank account. There's something I depended upon that I drew. I drew my status. I drew my comfort. I drew my ability to go walk through the world comfortably. I drew it from this source. I didn't draw it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of judgment, so where are your associates that you thought were more valuable? أَذَنَّكَ مَا مِنَّا مِنَّا. Nothing was more valuable than you. وَضَلَّ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. That which they called upon before will not come through for them on that day. وَظَنُّوا mean they knew. مَا لَهُمْ مِنْ مَحِيصٍ. They have nowhere to run. المحيص is a place to hide, or a place maybe to dodge something that's coming your way. وَظَنُّوا مَا لَهُمْ مِنْ مَحِيصٍ. And they came to the conclusion that day that there's nowhere to go. Very difficult to imagine something like that. Whenever you think of evil coming your way, whenever you think of a catastrophe or an earthquake or any musibah, you're always wondering, maybe there's a basement, maybe there's a place I'll hide, I'll take my family, I'll be safe somewhere. Right? That's the way we think. We're always wondering, well, there'll be a corner somewhere, somewhere I can find, I can stay safe. Yawm al-Qiyamah, there's nothing, nowhere to go. It's a feeling of despair, of weakness that is overwhelming. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to hide. I can't dodge any of this. I can't run. I can't go anywhere. This is it. What I depended upon did not come through, and I have nowhere to go. And I'm stuck. And I didn't listen. He gave me a Quran, Fussilat Ayatuhu. I didn't listen to it. When they spoke to me, it was like they were calling me from a distance, just like the people of Musa did to him. However, those who performed the deeds they were asked to perform, they made it. And those who didn't are being held accountable. He's not going to mistreat anybody because he has all knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he will ask us on that day, where are your... Show me those who you depended upon. Let's see what they'll do for you. And all we can say is, no, we understand now. None of that matters. None of that's important. All of it is just, it's all lies. It was all a delusion. I don't know why we even cared about it. But at that point, either you have something to come through for you and they don't, or you have nowhere to go. And that's just the sad reality of Yawm al-Qiyamah if you didn't listen. We'll end with that, inshallah ta'ala. Tomorrow we'll read verses that are some of the most interesting ones in the Quran. I really take time today if you have nothing else to do and recite these ayat for yourself and listen and think about them a little bit, and we'll talk about them, inshallah, tomorrow morning. I hope that was a benefit to you. Subhanakallah bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad wa ashabihi ajma'in.